So I know we domesticate animals. We're keenly aware of that today. We domesticate animals, and we turn them into our pets, whom we care for and we love, as I was saying to the children, and to whom we are all going to extend God's richest blessing today. We domesticate animals as human beings. Sometimes I think, as one of my clergy colleagues in Toronto so aptly reminded me on Facebook this week, sometimes I think we try to domesticate the saints of the church as well. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Let's take St. Francis, for instance, whose feast day, Transferred, we are celebrating this morning. And Transferred just means that the day was actually last Friday, and we have received permission from our bishop to celebrate that day today on a Sunday morning when we're already here. Now, in recent years, St. Francis has been, in a sense, I think, domesticated by our popular culture. We tend to think of Francis as this gentle old friar, kind of Santa Claus of sorts. We think of him as someone who spent his time walking out in the fields, preaching to animals. We see pictures of him, like the one on the cover of the bulletin, with animals all around his feet, dogs and cats and chipmunks and squirrels. Sometimes, like the picture that was up at the beginning of the service, there's even a chickadee or a bird sitting out on his right hand as he holds it out there. Francis has become for us a very kind and pastoral figure on whose feast day we rightly celebrate and bless our pets. Now we even have a pope named Francis. That's a first. He's the first pope ever to be named after St. Francis of Assisi. And he is certainly a warm and caring and a genuinely pastoral man. But all of those things being said, I don't think that the current pope chose his title, chose to bear a name that was synonymous with all things warm and fuzzy. I don't think that's what Pope Francis was going for when he chose his title. Because just like St. Nicholas of Myra, from whose life we have created this beloved popular image of jolly old St. Nick, just like St. Nicholas of Myra, St. Francis of Assisi was anything but a Santa Claus. St. Francis of Assisi was anything but warm and fuzzy. Francis loved and cared for animals, yes. And just like St. Nicholas loved and cared for children. But Francis was anything but domesticated. St. Francis was rough. St. Francis lived on the edge. St. Francis was a disruptor. Francis was born into a relatively wealthy family in the 12th century in Italy. Now, he could have lived a comfortable life as a silk merchant, fancy clothes and wealthy friends and lots of coin to spread around. But instead, Francis felt drawn, powerfully drawn, into a relationship with the poor. One account of his life tells how a young Francis was one day left to tend his father's silk stall at the market. He apparently struck up a conversation with a beggar who was searching for alms, looking for a handout. And by the end of the conversation, a conversation that never should have happened, by the way, because of class lines and barriers, Francis gave this poor beggar everything he had, including the shirt off his back. And some accounts say that his father mercilessly beat him for doing that when he got home later in the day. In his late teenage years, Francis joined the military and became a common soldier, and that further enraged his father. He saw the horrors of war, and he was ultimately taken prisoner. He spent more than a year living as a prisoner of war, living like a slave in captivity in 12th century Italy. It was not a cakewalk. And during this time of trauma, he began to experience a spiritual conversion. And when he was finally released, he joined a pilgrimage to Rome. And there in Rome, he joined some of the poorest residents of the city in begging before St. Peter's Basilica, begging some of the roughest characters of 12th century Italy, right before the home of the Pope himself. Francis is said to have wandered the city streets of Rome like a wild man, like a John the Baptist, and people were drawn to him. People were so drawn to him that eventually he transformed his small band of followers into a religious order, the order we know today as the Franciscans. They renounced everything they had. They renounced all wealth. They renounced all worldly goods. And they dedicated their lives to serving the poor and to promoting peace. It's said that Francis even undertook a dangerous trip to the Middle East during his lifetime. He undertook a dangerous trip in an effort to dialogue with the Sultan of Egypt, in an effort to end the Crusades that dominated the Middle Ages, the Crusades for the Holy Lands, the sins of warfare and bloodshed that Francis had experienced so intimately as a young soldier. And over time, thousands and thousands of people joined this movement for peace. And that movement transformed the church and the world as it continues to today. St. Francis was not just some loving, animal-loving version of Santa Claus. Francis was so much more. He was a disruptor. Now, this week on Facebook, Holy Trinity, if you've been watching, we have been introducing members of our wider community to our church mice, to the six cute little toys that we hide around the church each Sunday morning and that our Sunday school takes great delight in looking for after Sunday services. And while these six little mice are cute, while they are cute and they're fun to go looking after, I want us to remember as a church family that each of them is named for a disciple of Jesus Christ who was also a disruptor. Take John Knox and Thomas Cranmer, for instance. Johnny and Tommy are mice. They were men who turned the church in Scotland and in England on its head during the Protestant Reformation. Julian of Norwich, little Julian, she reached out of the darkness and the harshness of the Middle Ages to proclaim and to reveal a message of divine love. St. Matthew, the mouse you named for my patron saint, St. Matthew got up from the seat of custom, got up from a comfortable life as a collaborator, a comfortable life as a Roman tax collector. He chose to follow a simple, itinerant preacher who said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We remember the saints of the church with stained glass windows, beautiful as they are. We remember them this day by blessing our pets. We remember them by leaving out milk and cookies for jolly Saint Nick on Christmas Eve. We remember the saints in all these ways. But the real reason we remember them, the true reason we honor them with the title Saint of the Church of God, is because they were disruptors. There are saints among us, holy people who dared to take risks, who dared to give up everything for the love of Jesus Christ and to share that love with the world that God so deeply loves. To boast of nothing, in the words of St. Paul from Galatians this morning, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose nails and wood and wounds our world has been saved. And so today, my friends, we pray. We pray as we extend our hands outward later this morning to bless our pets, to bless these creatures who help us to know what it means to love. We pray that we too might be blessed by the Holy Spirit with the wild and untamable, disruptive love of God. We pray that we might be empowered by God to share that wild and untamable and disruptive love with all of creation, with all God's creatures, great and small. We pray that we too might embrace the ministry of being disruptors. Because if the message that we are collectively preaching as the Christian church, if it annoys us, if the message that we are collectively preaching, if it shakes us out of our worldly routines, if it makes us stop, if it makes us stop and think about how everything in all of creation ought to be turned inside out and upside down, if it invites us, if it makes our hearts yearn to join that life-giving process of rebirth, if whatever we are collectively preaching through both our words and our actions, as St. Francis so famously said, if it actually invokes in us that wild and disruptive and untamable love of God, then and only then are we preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.